Is there anybody here this morning who would just like to pray for our time as we, you might want to pray for me because it'll affect you. So I just thought you will. Thank you, Sue.
Lord God, open up our hearts, open up our ears, open up our minds. Be ready for what you've got to say to each one of us. Use Andy to do it, please. Amen.
Amen. Okay, that saved you the job there, Dave. And what did we just say? Anybody coming in late will actually have to pray as well. Is that right? No, it's all right.
You're right.
Cool. I don't know if you are aware, but a couple of weeks ago, Dave Sandberg started talking about a subject based on the Freedom in Christ course, which is about your own identity, I think, wasn't it, in Christ? Is that right?
Who we are really.
Who we are really, yes, that's what I said. And then last week, I haven't listened to Carol's talk, but on the thing yet. But she spoke again out of some. What did she talk about roughly? What was the subject?
Stuff.
Thanks.
Who am I now?
Who I am now? Okay, and that's out of the Freedom in Christ thing. And I've got a whole lot of notes as well out of the Freedom in Christ stuff about faith. So I'm supposed to be talking this morning about faith. I have to tell you that I have really struggled with this. Okay, I'm really glad that Alan and Jana are here this morning because they embody in some ways some of the elements of the talk today. So from Jana's point of view, I know that she went to London the other day and she went to one of the galleries that has a whole load of Turner paintings in it. I don't know if you've seen the film about Turner and how he paints, but basically, he paints extremely vigorously, and there's lots of sort of colour, but you have to look at the paint. There doesn't seem to, it's not like a normal painting. You have to look at it for a long time to try and work out what on earth's going on in it. Yeah? That's about right, isn't it? Did you stand in front of them, and you could see a watery sun and a bit of a ship and some, but the more you look at it, the sort of the better it gets. But you get a feeling rather than see something exact. And I think that sort of adequately describes how my journey has been about preparing this talk and what you're going to get this morning. So please don't feel it's going to be very messy. I feel like I've been going round in circles, and I know that Turner did a lot of circles sort of painting stuff over and just overpainting and overpainting because it's complicated. And I don't think this whole thing in Freedom in Christ thing, when I first started looking at it, faith is dead simple. And I thought, no, but it is not simple. Because if it was, we'd all have it right straight away, wouldn't we? Do you know what I mean? And it's just really got me. So I'm going to give you a bit of a context, and then Andy's got a little bit of a story this morning, which I sort of think fits into it. There's a bit in 1 Corinthians, which chapter 13, which talks about love. And it says this: if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so what I want to do, if you like, if I'm painting a picture this morning, I'm putting the backwash on it. The whole context of what we're talking about of faith is love. And in that 1 Corinthians 13, one of the things that Paul says, now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of them is love. And the love is the backdrop to all that we talk about. Because if we don't talk about love when we talk about faith, we'll get something like you get with Donald Trump, which is blatantly obvious to us Brits, might not be obvious to the Americans, but what you get is you get somebody who says, I believe and I have faith, and then actually there doesn't seem to be very much love in the whole game. Now, I may be doing him a disservice, and I'm not really wanting to get political, but it's a good example at this stage. But it works in our lives too, that if we actually say we believe, but then actually we don't act out of love, or we act and that sort of thing, then actually other people begin to look at us as well as ourselves and go, it's not adding up. So it's got to work. It's got to work together. So, Andy, just give us this story, because again, it may not seem to fit, but you just have to put up with that, because it's part of the mixture of the complexity of things, and you just have to let it fit in later.
Okay, I'm reading the biography of Stephanie Millwood. Stephanie is a young lady who lives in Boston, Sheridan, and she is a very powerful swimmer. But at the age of 17, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Just at the point when she was in the final stages of training to go on the Sydney Olympics in the year 2000. So she was a dead cert to be in the team, and then suddenly that was it. You know, she suddenly found her eyes had gone all funny and she couldn't get out of the pool. She was beginning to feel the tiredness, the absolute fatigue that comes along with having MS. And she talks in her book very much about how depressed she felt, and it was always like she was blaming herself. What have I done wrong? What I've always been trying to be a good person. I'm the academic one. I'm always trying to do good at school. I'm helping people out. You know, what have I done? Why has God put this upon me? And it's this thing. Why is God? And she went to a really, really low place. She became one of the party girl for a while, sort of a lot of alcohol and stuff like this. And I knew Judy. Does anyone here remember Judy? Yeah? Okay, so Judy was, she was a mother. She came to Dayspring for a number of years. She had one leg. She lost a leg through cancer. But she was a really beautiful person, really genuine person to get and know. She was also an artist, so fitting in with Turner. A lot of connections here. But because she had suffered so much, and she'd been through the whole mill herself about, you know, why me, why has this happened, and come out very strong in the love of God. And she was a member here of Dayspring for many, many years. She got alongside Stephanie, and you could tell there's a whole chapter of the book devoted to Judy about how she got alongside Stephanie. They met daily. Stephanie was meeting in her house. She was going to see her. She was taking her horse riding, all sorts of things. Now you think a one-legged person on a horse, you know, doesn't run stable. And, you know, and all the things that her disabilities were actually able to then help Stephanie got over her disabilities. And she says how wonderful, you know, Judy was in terms of making her feel positive again about her life and her abilities. And she's been on since then as a Paralympian. She's got a whole host of gold, silvers and bronze medals from the Olympics 2004 onwards. She got a silver, I think, in Rio. So, wow. Amazing person. Cool. And if you want to see her, she swims many, many times a week in Caution Pool, right. Which is being okay. Named after her.
Yes. Thank you very much, Andy. That wasn't planned, by the way. I didn't ask Andy to do that. He just came up and said, can I just share this morning? Which I think is interesting, because Judy died how many years ago? Yeah, I'm struggling here. 2003 or something like that.
Amazing Stephanie was actually there for a lot of suffering.
That may well come back in the talk a little bit about what happens after death and, you know, our effect and stuff like that. However, let's just see if we can actually focus on faith a little bit. Hebrews 10 and 11 and 12 talk about faith quite a lot. It's the go-to bit to find out about faith in the Bible. Of course, the whole Bible is really, but you know, the bit of the explanation, if you like. And there are two things that it says about faith, or it says that faith is about two things for us as Christians. One, it's about the future, okay, but it doesn't mean next week, or next month, or next year, or in 10 years' time. For me, it might mean in 100 years' time. Okay, for you, some of you, some of the people here may still be alive in 100 years. Some of the ones might be, you never know. But for most of us, you know, it's going to be after our death is what I'm really talking about. So that is the future that it's talking about in terms of having faith about that. And it also brings in hope at that point. And the Bible talks a lot about hope, which you'll hopefully get onto. Oh, hopefully get onto that, yeah. Okay. Just a little quote, really. It's in Hebrews 6, because he's already mentioned this. It says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, by the way, is just a guy who happens to be a king and a priest at the same time. Oh, and Jesus is like that too. Jesus is a king and a priest. Okay, so we won't worry too much about that. But here's the image that I want you to have. If you are a ship and you are at anchor, you are on the surface of the water and you have a chain and it goes down under the water and gets to the bottom. I know sea anchors operate in a different way, and Matt will probably know about them, but we're not going into that detail about sea anchors because they don't necessarily attach to the bottom, but let's not go there. Sorry, that was just a technical aside. So the chain goes down through the water. It's like the curtain, which he's talking about in the temple. So that's like our death. It goes through. So we are here alive, and we have hope. And our hope is anchored not in this life, but in the life to come. We have hope that goes through our death and into the future with God. Okay? So our hope in the future isn't in our own rise or fall, how good we feel, how bad we feel, do we do well or do we do badly in other ways. But it actually is, our focus is on being with God in heaven. Okay, that's our hope. Whether you like it or not, that's what the Christianity is about. It goes from, it's talking about us having a hope that when we die, we will be with God. And we hope that. And if you want to dispute that, just look up the word hope, and you get this great long list of, you know, if you go on, Bible Gateway thing, just type in the word hope, and you get a massive long list of what we hope for, but it's all the same. You know, the word hope comes up lots and lots of times. Hope in Jesus, hope in the life to come, hope in the life after death. So that's the first thing that we have faith for. The second thing is that we have faith for things that we cannot see. Okay? Now, let's just list those in order of preference, starting with the first one and not going any further. The first thing that we have faith in that we cannot see is God. He is the supreme unseen thing in our lives. Okay, so we have faith in God, and that's what it is. He's not seen, we have to have faith. All right? So does that make sense? Yeah, there's just only two things. One's the faith for life after, and faith in God now. Okay? About that. When we actually have faith, though, this is quite a good bit, but I've got to just make sure it goes right. Yeah, there's another verse. Where's that gone? I need that verse. What is it? Here we are. Verse 6 in Hebrews 11, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Okay, now I was a little bit frustrated with this verse. I don't know if if you actually think about the whole verse, see, I can go with, and without faith it's impossible to please God. Yeah, that's okay, I agree with that. And anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Yeah, I think I'm fairly okay with that. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I thought, oh. I just started, why? What's going on there? Because I don't think that I've got that in my normal Christianity, in my normal everyday life. I don't think I'm thinking that God's going to reward me if I earnestly seek him. I just think, well, everything's going to be okay. Does that make sense to you? I mean, or do you live in life like, if I seek God, he will reward me? Are you thinking like that? Because I ain't. I'm not. It's just part of the deal for me. And So I immediately thought, well, what are the rewards? So I just wondered whether you had any idea what the rewards were. Because I've given it a lot of thought, and I'm not so sure.
Give us now daily bread.
So he gives us food to eat.
Well, just anything. It's, you know,
he gives us any food to eat.
We don't deserve anything, do we? So anything we get is a reward.
Yeah, but people who don't believe him also get daily bread, don't they? So
What about the gifts of spirits?
Okay.
The rest doesn't talk about behaving life after death.
That could well be it. So we are rewarded by our life after death. Wow. Instead of death after death, we get life after death. Okay. See, it's getting you confused, isn't it?
It's intimacy. A reward would be intimacy, like a close friendship with God as we see.
Okay,
him.
Yeah.
You get to know him, and that's a reward. That's how I understand.
Okay. That's, yeah, okay. That's a good one. Pam?
A thankful heart. Because other people always get the sunshine in the morning and everything else, same as we do, but some people moan all day long.
Right.
So I think it's God's Holy Spirit, which is a gift.
Okay, so... So it changed... What you're saying is that the reward is that we actually... So it's going on from what Alan's saying. As our relationship, we get a joy or something, a thankful heart, that so life is better.
Transformed, I'd say.
Transformed. Okay, yeah, okay. Anybody else got any thoughts on that? Do you think that's right, or...
Reassurance.
Give me some thoughts I don't agree with.
Pardon?
Give me some thoughts I don't agree with. In that that's the basis of the prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
That verse.
Go on then.
So people believe that.
Give it a go.
Means that you'll get material reward.
Yeah.
In this life.
Yeah.
Not the things that we've been talking about.
So yeah.
A large movement, particularly in America, believes that's the whole basis for.
Yeah.
Prosperity gospel of mega churches and lots of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I agree with.
No, that's fine. So that's in the mix too. Okay.
What about when we actually come to faith, our spirits are made alive, aren't they?
Mm.
Before that, they were dead. And so, in a sense, our whole being is open to a whole new world, whole new place.
Yeah.
That we never knew existed.
Okay.
And all that.
So that's a reward. That's the reward?
Well...
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. All right. Anybody want to add anything else? This is what I mean by the Turner thing, to be honest with you. All right? Do you see what I mean? It's a little bit more complicated than it first seems. And I feel sorry for us all in that way because I got, you know, over the last few days, I've been quite frustrated because I think... I know a Christianity, when I first became a Christian, that just said faith, you know, and it was simple, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and that. And I have actually noted somewhere, this is all too complicated to learn. I want some simple rules that won't wash, but that won't wash with me now. So I want simple rules that I can just live my faith by. But the trouble is, I've got too old or something, or I've got too much experience now, and I know that it don't work like that. But the faith thing, still trying to be simple, but actually it isn't simple, and so it don't wash anymore. And I said, then I said, so I'm left with getting to know him to find the way forward. And that's what I'm left with. Because what you get up, you know, it's just really, I was talking to John the other day about the bus, right? I have talked to the core team about this, and they told me I ought to tell you this story, and I really didn't want to tell you this story, but I've told John a little bit. And so, you know, the bus, and you maybe look at the Facebook page and you think everything's going on okay, but it really is not in my head. It's going on fine in the bus, and John's doing a great job, and Bob's doing a great, you know, all these different people are doing a great job, and everything's ticking along. But I wake up in the morning and go, it's a disaster, it's never going to happen. And wake up worried, have pain in my stomach, thinking, oh, what am I doing? You know, then I wake up. I don't know if you have those times where you're sort of half awake, half asleep, where everything can be absolutely wonderful or things can be absolutely disastrous, but it never seems to be anything in between. And I can wake up in those mornings, and I can get up in the morning, and I can have the whole day in the office at home trying to plan for things, buy stuff for the bus and do things like that, and feel it's absolutely dreadful. And then, but I get to the bus, talk to the guys, look at the bus, see how it's come on, and go, oh, it's all right really, isn't it? It's doing okay. And so my feelings just about it are going like that. I don't know. I have to say that my feelings have always gone like that throughout the whole of my life. And so do I wake up in the morning when I think it's going to be a disaster and call it all off? You know, and say, well, no, that's it, we've stopped. We've spent the money, some money, but we'll give the other money back and stop, and I'll just go and, you know, I'll sweep the roads or something, I don't know. You know, or... whatever. So there's that whole thing in it. Now, Alan, I've just got something here. This is for the people who've been a Christian a long time, but I've brought, this is, you see, this is why Alan's in here, but you know Alan's into trains. All right. So, now Alan might not remember this, but I do have to talk about this because I've already sort of talked about it. This is a little illustration about fact, faith, and feelings that came from Campus Crusade. I have looked it up, and I have read the arguments about this. The engine is the facts in your life. The coal, the tender, where all the coal is that fires the engine, is your faith. And then the coach behind is just all your feelings. Okay, and so when I was a young Christian, they said, look, you need to put your faith in the facts. You need to have the facts at the front. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. You know, you want the locomotive to pull the train, and if the facts are at the front, so Jesus actually did live, he did die on the cross, he rose again from the dead. You know, God is in existence. I look at creation and I think, wow, it's just amazing. How did this happen? I was talking to somebody the other day, actually heard that, you know, what their thinking was that... you just look at creation, you can't imagine that something has come out of nothing. And that's the actual basic question that brings you to God. We're all here. You know, there's something. It's come out of nothing. How? Because of the love of God is the answer that we have. Love has brought all of this about. And in fact, in John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and everything that has been made was made through the Word. Nothing that has been made didn't come through him. It all has come through Jesus. So you look at a tree, you look at a butterfly, you look at a caterpillar, you look at a worm, you look at the clouds, you look at the colours. And if you stop and think for a little while, you can actually feel the love of God, because creation is all about expressing God's love to us. And then, of course, you can look at us as well. Now, it doesn't mean that things don't get messed up, but sorry, getting a little bit off track there. But basically, coming back to fact, faith, and feelings. Now, it was a discussion in core team about this that made me realize that about 30 or 40 years ago, when I first heard this, I misheard it. Now, Philippa's laughing because I mishear most things, to be honest with you. So she's not surprised. Okay. But what it was it went like this. The actual story, I'll tell you the real thing. What they said was fact, faith, feelings, and obviously the locomotive has to go at the front because that's where the power is, and it pulls the train along. And they said it's impossible for your feelings to go at the front because there's no power in the feelings, so it can't pull the train along. All right, and that's fairly understandable, isn't it? You know, you think that's pretty simple. However, I didn't think of it like that. I spent most of my youth with model railways, and if you get a train and you get a whole load of trucks, really. Whoops, that's, oh, grief. No, don't. There we go. That's right, well, that happens a lot, doesn't it? So, if you've actually got a model railway and you have your engine at the back pushing all the trucks, what happens is all of the trucks have some weight, but they're all quite light. And what happens is that you get a derailment. Absolutely, you get chaos every time. You go around a curve, Alan will tell me, you push a lot of trucks, you get a derailment, won't you? Unless you've got weight in them, of course, which is, that's not the point. So, so in my head, when I was about 20 or something like that, I thought, okay, so this is the way round it should be, but if you go like that, chaos will ensue, because basically your feelings will just derail, and then probably you'll take the locomotive with you and everything will go off track, like. And so I think I had it right a bit. Do you see what I mean? I still think that there's a principle there that the whole thing goes. So my feelings about the bus on a bad day, I have to work at it to sort of say, this is a bad day, but we're still doing it. And I think that's where the faith is somehow. Okay. I hope you're still with me. There's a little bit of a thing here in Hebrews 11, just coming back to that now, which I think really helps us. It says, this is about the future hope in life with God. It lists a load of people that have had faith in the Bible. I'm not going to list all of those now. Then he summarizes, he says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Okay, and it says, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, which meant they still thought it was going to happen, and they died. Okay, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Interesting that, by the way, that if they had, even Abraham, who had been called out of his country to go somewhere else, if he had been thinking of his own old country, he would have had an opportunity to return. Interesting that he was still focused on this. If he'd even thought about his own place, he would have had an opportunity, which we might have taken as God, but he wasn't going to. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, which is the thing. But here's the thing, right? We don't live in a culture that says you can have faith and you've still got success, if you like, in your faith, even if you died and you haven't received it. We live in a culture that says, you have faith, you will see it, and if you don't see it, you've got something wrong. And the Bible's faith isn't like that. And that sort of brought me up a bit sharp, really. So that's like a big blob of red paint that's gone wrong over on the painting, you know, and think, oh my goodness, you know, that sort of, to me, it's just sort of thinking, oh, that's a bit awkward. Right, the feelings thing, I'm just coming back to that. Just to give you a fix on this, if you wake up in the morning and you've got a job to go to and you're feeling a bit under the weather, you still go to your work. This is how I think about it, because it aligns really with the way of faith. You want to look after your family or bring some money in so that you can live, and so it's really important. And so if you're feeling like, I don't want to go to work today, I'd rather, you know, watch the telly or there's some sport on, or I just don't want to do anything, I just want to have a cup of tea and put my feet up. If you feel like that and don't go to work, you are screwing it up a bit, aren't you, really? It is going a bit wrong. Now, so I think that feelings can't sort of drive us, but I want to come back to feelings because, you see, we are whole people and feelings are stuck in with faith. Okay. Can I ask you to have a little, in pairs, ask this question, because I think it might just take us on a slightly different tack. I'll give you a few moments to think about this. Think back, or think to when you have taken God at his word, and a simple thing, might be big thing, little thing, I don't know, a time when you've taken God at his word, and just say, explain to somebody what happened. What happened when you took God at his word? Okay. He might have said something to you. I'm just giving you time here whilst you have a little think. Okay, so I'll ramble on a little bit. Trains, Turner, things like that. You've got to think about when did God speak to you? What did he say? Have you taken him at his word? What happened? Okay, that's probably long enough now. So, there you go. That's one of the Freedom in Christ questions, by the way, just so that you know, it's not one of mine. Okay, you've got 10 seconds. All right, give you a couple of minutes. Okay. How are we getting on? Have you completed? You've done one. Yeah, but you're not in a pair. Have you completed?
Yeah.
Are you done? You done?
No, but we
haven't. Okay. All right. That's ducking out, is it? Right. Last one talking can share it. No, I don't mean that. So hopefully that was interesting. We haven't got time for all of your stories, and you just hear a little bit of mine, which is that God says, somehow communicates to me that we ought to do a second bus, and so we're in there, and you can see what is happening. It's not an easy ride, and I imagine, has anybody actually come up with, oh, it was easy, it was fine? And just because somebody might. Ah, oh, Roy.
No, it wasn't easy.
Roy said it was easy. I just put that on the tape here. It's not a tape, on the digital thing. Roy said it was really easy.
It wasn't easy and it wasn't fine. Just recently we have some family issue and I was a bit concerned. And the word came up, I don't give you a problem unless I give the solution.
Right. And that brought peace?
Yes. Not only that, I opened a new one magazine, and everything I want to know about teenage problems for sick.
Can we read it, please? Yeah.
I was just thinking, it's a big, big issue. I said, how did he get through the letterbox? Yes, right. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Because has anybody else got that sort of story which says, well, the problem gets sorted, but somehow peace started to come in? And because I get that, I have to say, I do get that when I pray about the bus, you know, peace starts to come in. I have to do it. I don't have to do it.
Like a teenager, then I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Small steps.
Yeah, small steps, yeah. Right, thank you.
It's grumpy and sometimes refuses to get up.
Well, the batteries are dead on it. Okay, okay. Right. And we'll stop there now. Now, that's quite interesting, isn't it, really, that we actually... I've put some notes here, like, about this. I don't know whether it's... have you sort of felt like you've got on track with God in faith, and then you keep feel like you're falling off? You know, that it's, yeah, I'm trying hard, yeah, we're doing okay. Oh no, we've had a bad day or a bad week or bad month or whatever. But actually, I just went, this is normal. As far as I can see, it's just simply normal in our life of faith to actually get challenged about whether it's faith and whether we really believe it and whether it's right and whether he's with us and whether he's not. And you just have to get back up, really. I've asked these questions here. I think this is probably in the line with the Freedom in Christ stuff. Have you dismissed something that God has said to you or forgotten it as being too difficult to cope with? And I'm not sure that it's actually a Freedom in Christ question. It's probably more like one of mine. I have discovered as I've got older that it's easier. I don't know why, but it's easier for me to go, well, that's too hard to deal with. I'll just leave that over there and I can get on with my life over here. I wasn't able to do that as in my 20s and 30s, I don't think. But I seem to be more able to do that. But it's not necessarily a good thing, is it?
No.
Well, thanks, Linda. Well, yeah, I don't think it is. But God will bring us back round to it, I guess. And so maybe that's part of the problem. So maybe you're in that sort of position. Okay. That brings me on to this thing about faith grows in difficult times. Okay, so when we have difficult times, God seems to enable our faith to grow. Because I was saying to Philippa just a few weeks ago that when we have difficult times, like, you know, all of our grandchildren at the moment are 11,500 miles away. And for those of you with grandchildren, you'll know that's not the easiest sort of situation to live in. Okay, you see them on FaceTime. Yeah, you kiss a screen. And they come to kiss the screen back. But because FaceTime's got its camera in the wrong place for kisses, you see an eyeball. It's quite disconcerting, you know. I don't know if... it's too much. And then, of course, they're doing stuff that you just really want to be there. You'd like to put them to bed, read them a story, do all of that sort of stuff, and you can't do it. And we've had some tough times. Not all tough times, because we're not miserable all of the time. But last year, around August, September time, I think we went through a bit of a patch where both of us were quite low about it and stuff like that. But actually, when you look, it's not when it happens, but when I look back, there were other things going on, and I felt God quite close to us about some other things. And I think it's when you look back, you begin to feel that God's close. No, he wasn't close to us about the grandchildren specifically. That was just a tough time. But God seems to draw near in tough times, although we don't always notice it. You know that one, have you seen that picture? Sorry, this is just a little aside, but I like this. You know that picture of the two sets of footprints on the sand, and then it goes to one set of footprints, and they go, oh, why did you leave me? And he goes, I didn't leave you, I carried you. But I think, right, that it's more like, I'm not quite sure which way round it is, it's almost like I'm carrying God sometimes and I'm hopping. Do you know what I mean? So there's only one, there's not even a full set of footprints. It sort of feels like it's half-baked, it's not working out. God's left me, I'm still hopping, I'm not even walking on my own. And, you know, but actually God is there in the midst of it, and you just have to sort of reflect and look back on that. Sorry, that's not a very helpful, maybe a helpful way of looking at it, except the fact that it's the way it is. Now, the other thing is faith leads to action. You can't have faith without being changed. Marion was talking about when we actually become Christians, we are a new creation, something spiritual happens inside us. Pam uses the word transformed. So we are transformed from one being into another. We become a new creation in Jesus Christ. We have Jesus living in us. We have the Holy Spirit. Things are different. Yeah? So it leads to things changing. Now, I used to think it was all about deeds, like me doing the bus. But actually, the first bus, I used to spend... Oh, and Philippa actually records in our family history. I didn't see Andy, really, for about 6 months, because he was at the bus all of the time. And I felt God speak to me about the way that we do the bus this time, which is actually that relationships with the people that I'm working with is the thing I need to focus on, because the other bit will be okay, you know, we can do that. And so I'm trying to do that sort of differently, if you see what I mean. What was I going to say there? I was going to, leading to action. So what I was going to say is that my first time doing the bus, I thought my faith brings me to act and convert the bus. But my second time is my faith is bringing me to do the bus, but actually it's the way I do it that's actually where my faith is really going to change things. Now, please, you know, I will have annoyed people. I will have said things I shouldn't have done all the way through, you know, the whole of my life anyway. But, you know, so I apologise for all of that in advance, you know, or whatever. But basically, I am trying to have a relationship with the guys I'm working with on the bus. We've tried to pray for, in fact, where's Simon? So we've prayed for Simon's job and stuff a couple of times on the top deck of the bus. We don't go into the tea room because we can get interrupted there for prayer, and it's more them than we're concerned about than us. But we've prayed, haven't we, John? And, you know, Simon's got a job now, which is great. I'm sure that he's been prayed for in the small groups as well, but we've managed to do that. And we would never have done that on the first bus conversion. So the way that we're trying to show love and generosity and kindness and all of those things is where I think the faith leads to action, because we're transformed from the inside by our faith. So I think on the trains had the flip chart for some reason. I've forgotten that. Dave, I asked. I didn't tell you what I needed it for, did I?
No, you told me you definitely needed it.
I definitely needed that flip chart. I even brought my pens, many different pens. Oh, completely.
Were you going to write down the responses to that thing we did? You asked the question.
Possibly. I've just Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, minute, get some food in. Right. Oh no, I have remembered one thing actually that I haven't mentioned yet. I'm going to try and weave it into faith, okay? And you'll see that it's quite easy. When you come to faith, you have to die to yourself. That's what the Bible says. You need to actually put yourself away and let a new creation come. And it's rather like in the flood, Noah flooded the whole earth, took all the sin away, washed it away with water, and then something new could come up. And in the same way, when we go down into the waters of baptism, it shows that we're putting away the old life. And then when we come up again, it's like resurrection. So we're coming back into the resurrection of Jesus. And I don't know if you saw, there was a film once where an evangelist was, he had a bet all the time as to how he could get in certain words into his preach. And I've just done that because we've got baptisms coming up in May, I think it is. And I've just weaved that into the talk with faith, and I'm quite pleased about that. So God might have a word for me later, I'm sure. But basically, if you haven't been baptised and you think that you ought to be baptised, now I've given that amazing preach on baptism, then you need to have a chat with somebody. Dave Sandberg would be good enough. sorry.
Now you wait to be even better.
Yeah, thanks. Now, on the, I don't know if you can read this, but there's a sheet here that I went through like a teacher. It's called 20 cans of success. That doesn't mean tin cans of success. It's 20 things that you can say is success. And it's got a whole load of Bible verses there. And I went through it like marking whether they were right or wrong, to be honest with you, because I found that I was resisting them. It's not really whether they're right or wrong, but whether I felt they were right or wrong at the time. But what I've put at the bottom is this, that success is called when we are more peaceful, we're more gentle, we're showing more kindness, we're showing more goodness, we're actually expressing love, we're having more faith, we can see our hope gone past our death, and we have self-control. All those fruits of the Spirit, those things that he talks about, what love is in 1 Corinthians. And I just think that that's it. Now, there is one other thing that I read in a commentary, which I do want to just... I'll find it for you, because, and then I'll finish. I've got it somewhere. I will have it somewhere, because I have, it's an important thing. I've written it down somewhere. Come on. Can't find it. It's about being active, seeking God. It's actively seeking him and actually really trying to find him and actually spend some time with him. And that's the person who rewards. That's what our faith is about. It's, our faith isn't really about whether we succeed or we fail, but it's more about us actually wanting to be with God and having a relationship with him that goes along in our waking hours and also in our sleeping hours and in our relationship with people, in our work, and just trying to work it out and talking to God about it. And we have in our I've been quite impacted by some different sorts of talk. I'm reading a book at the moment called Water into Wine by a guy called Brian Zand that Dave Hall's recommended to me, and I find it quite impactful because he's talking about different sorts of traditions and rituals that I normally and have actually through the book resisted and rejected and gone through and stuff like that. But there are some basic things that we do as Christians that I think that we need to continue to do. If we're really seeking God, we need to read about him, read about Jesus. We need to read the Gospels particularly because that's where we find out a lot about Jesus. And we need to pray to him, so we need to actually spend time praying to Jesus, talking things over with him, not just asking him for things, but chatting about things. And we also need to look at creation. I think whether you're one of those pathway people that, you know, it inspires you or not, creation needs to inspire you because God has made it all. And you can get something from it. So I think that's that'll have to do. So if you've got a picture of Turner now with all the swirly paint and a tiny watery sun and a bit of a ship and a few waves and there's not much else, you've got to still keep looking at it and still keep studying it, but being active and getting in there, because here I did want to tell you about Jesus. Really, I just think he's an amazing guy because he died over 2,000 years ago, and we believe in him because he rose from the dead, and he's still alive somehow. Can't quite explain it, because space travel's sort of said, well, how far away is he? But it doesn't, the space travel thing doesn't answer all of the questions, like something has come out of nothing, so God must be around. And anyway, I've experienced him and I've found the ways that it goes in my life for the last 40 years means that if I try to follow him, things work out okay, my relationships are better. You know, they're not always right and I cock it up, I know, but I can, there's also ways to try and patch it up too. And I just think it's brilliant. Somehow brilliant and really annoying at other times, but it is brilliant, isn't it? It is really good being a Christian. Really good. So, there you go. So, go and have some faith. And paint a picture, Jana. You can't play with my trains, okay? You can't.
I'll have to bring mine next time. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, got to pray for you. Goodness gracious me, how are we going to do that? Sorry, Sue.
Sorry. I'm trying not to cough and call.
Okay. All right, let's just pray then. Father, you are good to us. And you have been good to us. And you will continue to be good to us. and we do love you. We love the way you do things sometimes and hate the way you do things sometimes too, because it just knocks up against the way we are, and you want to change us. We thank you for your love that has started when the Big Bang happened or whatever it was, and has continued through to our lives now, and will continue after us too. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day when we will really be with you in spirit to spirit, body to body, or whatever that is. We're looking forward to it. Help us to understand, and help us with all of our little difficulties that we have through the next 24 hours, next week, next month, next years. We pray that you would help us and give us wisdom. We pray for help, and we want you to be close. We want to be involved, and we'll try to do things that will draw you closer as we seek you. Amen.